looking at that passage which Lisa just read to us from Mark chapter 1. But before I do that, I just want to share some words with you that God's placed on my heart. I don't know who these are for. I know it's for somebody. I don't know who it's for. I don't know how many people this is for, but certainly here this morning, these words are going to be important to someone. And it's a paraphrase of Psalm 139. O God, you search me and you know me. All my ways lie open to your gaze. When I walk or lie down, you go before me, ever the maker and keeper of my days. You know my resting and my rising. You discern my purpose from afar. And with love everlasting, you besiege me. In every moment of life or death, you are. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you have known its meaning through and through. You are with me beyond my understanding, God of my present, my past, and future too. Although your spirit is upon me, still I search for shelter from your light. There is nowhere on earth I can escape you. Even the darkness is radiant in your sight. For you created me and shaped me, gave me life within my mother's womb. For the wonder of who I am, I praise you. Safe in your hands, all creation is made new. Those words will have some particular meaning for someone here. As Peter has already said, at the end of service there will be some folk available for prayer in the chapel on your right. Peter and I will also be at the back of church, so if you want to talk with us about anything or share something with us, then we are also available. We're continuing with our series of Mark's Gospel. And you remember that last week we considered the call of the first disciples and then followed them on the Sabbath to the synagogue at Capernaum, where we were aware of two things. Firstly, we were aware of Jesus' teaching, which was very different from the normal run-of-the-mill teaching. Here was teaching which had life in it. It was teaching with authority. And secondly, we also read about the healing of the demon-possessed man, again with authority. You might remember Jesus' words in Mark 1, 25 and 26. Be quiet, said Jesus, sternly. Come out of him. And as a result, in verse 28 of chapter 1, we're told that news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And it's understandable because Jesus had authority. Authority in his teaching and authority over evil spirits. Authority. And there are three things which mark Jesus' ministry: teaching, healing, and the third thing which we will come to in just a minute or two, which is prayer. So those three things are vital in his ministry. This Sunday, we are looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39, and we continue to follow Jesus and his disciples from the synagogue on the Sabbath to the home of Peter and Andrew. We're not told why they were going there, but we could assume that it's to have a meal. The main meal on the Sabbath was taken after the service in the synagogue. It's a bit like our Sunday lunch, if you like. So they're going off, if you can imagine it in your minds, to Sunday lunch at good old Peter's house. Excellent news. But when they get there, they find there is a problem, because Peter's mother-in-law, yes, he was married. That fact quite often escapes us, but Peter was married, and in fact there is another reference to Peter's wife elsewhere in Scripture. Anybody know? This is a little bit of trivia quiz, that stuff, you know? Any idea? Anybody got any thoughts or feelings? I'm not going to bother Peter, he will know. I didn't know either. I will come clean on this. But it's in 1 Corinthians, would you believe? 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 5, which tells us, where St. Paul says, don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Cephas was Peter. They had wives, the apostles and Jesus' brothers and Peter. Family groupings, believing people. And so this is the scene. They arrive for their meal, only to find that Peter's mother-in-law is ill and she's in bed with a fever. We don't know whether it was flu or whatever it might be, but anyway, there's definitely a high temperature and she's not at all well. She's in bed. And you know, the interesting thing about this little passage, these little snippets, is that they tell Jesus about this. And isn't that lovely? Just think, just a simple little statement, little thought about this. But the disciples hadn't been with Jesus very long. And yet here they are already starting to share their troubles with him. Peter's mother-in-law is ill in bed with a high temperature. So what happens? You know, Jesus doesn't just go up to Peter and say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your mother-in-law. I do hope she gets well soon. Just tell her to take a few aspirin and keep drinking lots of water and she'll be fine. He actually does something. And notice that in that particular passage, Jesus goes to her, he takes her hand, he helps her up. Do you see how active all that is? Goes, takes, helps. There are no spoken words. It's all action. And you see, the significant thing about Jesus' ministry is that he doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk as well. It's not just empty words. They are words of authority. And there's actions and authority as well, which go with it. And the two, you'll notice, go hand in hand. It's not one without the other. You know, we've had, Brendan and I've had experience of a whole range of different types of churches, not just Church of England. And some have been very good on gifts of the Spirit and experiential things, but not so good on the teaching side. And others have been very good on the teaching side, but absolutely nothing when it comes to action and works of the Spirit. Both are not quite the right way of doing it. The two go hand in hand together. Authority in teaching, authority in action. You see it very clearly in Jesus' life. And in his work and in his ministry. And he's asking the same of his church as well, to be the same. Not just to talk the talk, but also to walk the walk, to take action sometimes big actions and sometimes small actions. And it requires, doesn't it, a measure of faith. It's not quite so comfortable. But Jesus doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us into a relationship with Him. And that's going to be exciting. And it's going to mean a journey. It's going to mean change. And it's going to mean that things will happen in people's lives, in our own lives and in others of other people's lives as well. And that's what Christian faith is all about. Personal relationship with the Lord Jesus that can be seen in both words and in actions. Jesus teaches with authority and he acts with authority. The two go hand in hand. In verse 32, Mark continues with his account. He goes on to say that that evening, in other words, when the Sabbath day had ended, because it ends at sunset, the whole town gathered outside Peter's house. And they brought loads of people who had all sorts of problems and difficulties. And they brought them there for Jesus to heal. And he did. Remember when I was at Ruffham, and we used to have a monthly service called Gosh, and it was a freewheeling service, and we were never sure what would happen. God always acted in it, and all sorts of things happened, and people were healed, and amazing things happened in people's lives. And I remember a doctor friend of mine spoke to me after one of the services and said, I never knew there were so many sick people. You know, you don't have to have a high fever to be ill. There could be dis-ease, note the split in the word, a dis-ease in lots of people. And it's amazing just how many people are carrying anxieties and concerns and worries. But a way that really they want to be released from. And Jesus was aware of that, and Jesus took action. And people flocked to him because they recognized that here was someone who could touch their innermost being and heal their fears and concerns. Jesus healed people. And his church should also be in the teaching and healing business. And if it isn't, there is something wrong. I'll share a true story with you. It's about Tony Campolo, who some of you know is an American evangelist, particularly working with young people, his students. And this happened just a few years ago. Tony Campolo was speaking at a small college in the American Midwest. And as he was finishing his presentation on the second night there, a woman came down the aisle of the auditorium carrying her child in her arms. The child was crippled and in calipers. The woman was obviously not a student. "What do you want?" Campolo asked. "God told me to come," she answered. "You are supposed to heal my child." "Dear lady, I don't have the gift of healing. Teaching is my gift," he said. The students had picked up what was going on at the front, and there were quite a bit of chatting and sniggering. A very withered chaplain came to Tony's rescue. Tony explained to the chaplain what the woman wanted, and the chaplain spoke to the audience. He said, "Those who do not believe that this child is going to be healed this evening, please leave the auditorium. If you're not absolutely convinced that this child will have his legs straightened through prayer, I want you to get out of here. 5 Pentecostal young people were left. They were already into it with their hands in the air and speaking in tongues, expressing their dependence on God. The chaplain anointed the child with oil and Campolo prayed. He started with a kind of non-committal, formal prayer. Then he stopped. They all stopped. They felt a strong and awesome presence break loose in their midst. Campolo removed his hands from the child and felt ashamed. They all removed their hands. Tony said that he now expected that the child would be healed there and then. However, it was not to be. Everyone went home. 3 years later, Tony Campolo met the mother at another meeting. Standing next to her was a fine lad standing upright without any cannabis. After the meeting 3 years previously, the lad had woken crying. His calipers were tight, so the mother loosened them. This happened a number of times over the succeeding few days, until the legs were straight. God works in the most amazing ways, if we let him. All of this takes place as part of Jesus' life and ministry. He's been teaching and preaching in the synagogue. He's had to deal with a man who was possessed at the same time. He's now gone to have some lunch or dinner or whatever it was, only to find that there was other calls on his time. I wonder if we have any idea just how much it took out of him. We get a little glimpse in other passages. But I don't know about Peter, I'm sure Peter's the same as me, but you know, when I was in full-time ministry, at one time we used to take Monday as our day off. And after a month or two, we gave up having Monday as our day off. Partly because a lot of places that sell refreshment were shut on a Monday. But mostly because I was so tired on a Monday, all I wanted to do was sleep. You're just worn out. Because of the emotional giving out on the Sunday. How much more Jesus? And perhaps, you know, towards the end of the passage that we had this morning, in verses 35 to 39, again we get another glimpse of that, because we're told that, you know, after that Sabbath day, early the next morning, Jesus takes himself off to have some quiet and peace and contact with his Father. How essential was that? And it's absolutely vital. And it's vital for us too, in all of our ministries. 3 aspects to Jesus' ministry that we've looked at today. His teaching with authority. His healings with authority. And his reliance on prayer and communication with his Father. Those 3 things are the main constituents of ministry, of all of our ministries. Let me just remind you of those verses from Psalm 139. Just the first verse. O God, you search me and you know me. All my ways lie open to your gaze. When I walk or lie down, you go before me. Ever the maker and keeper of my days. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words to us today. Thank you also for that passage in Mark that we have been looking at as well. Help us to learn the lessons that you are wanting to share with us. And Lord, please give each of us the faith to step out with you, to be used as your channel, to bring your teaching, your healing, your love and your prayer into other people's lives, that they may come to know and glorify you. In Jesus' name.